This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 3.
Again, many thanks to Buddy Boeheim, who just joined us from Syracuse, and Dan Bonner in Hour number 1. We'll touch base with Manny Navarro of The Athletic coming up in about a half an hour. But right now we're joined by the head basketball coach at Louisville, on the men's side, of course. And Chris Mack joins us. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're terrific. And I tell you what, that win Saturday night was a real big deal. I mean, you guys have won a ton of games, but to take it to Cameron Indoor, the big lead, you know they're going to make a run. Just the mental toughness of your team inside 6 minutes to close the deal, that was really impressive.
Thank you. I think, you know, our guys have been in that situation the two previous games. I think anytime you can go on the road, it's always going to be tough, especially when the crowd gets into it. So we go to Notre Dame, and we're winning the entire game, and then down the stretch they take the lead. And our ability to come back and stick together and get the job done, I think, helped us for the next game against Pitt. And we were down 7 with a couple minutes to go. And, you know, you go to a place like Cameron Indoor, going to be probably the loudest place you play all year. And we knew that they were going to make a run, and they're in their own building. They've got a terrific team. But, you know, our guys made the plays down the stretch, and really proud of our group and happy for them.
Coach, the step-by-step process with this particular Louisville team, but in particular the way this league is playing out this year, does it require more separation between one game to the next as you're getting a squad ready to go play? I mean, you just mentioned the impact of two games last week on the one Saturday, but somehow you still got to put everything in a silo, don't you?
Yeah, but, you know, the games come really quickly. You know, I just, you know, you get maybe one off day a week, and they'll sprinkle in a big Monday, and, you know, sometimes your turnarounds, you're playing on Saturday, then you're playing again on Tuesday. So your ability to really focus on the next game, be prepared, you know, generally playing a completely different style of play from one game to the next. And now we go from 18 conference games to 20 conference games. It's really going to test your mettle.
David Johnson was pretty spectacular on Saturday. I can only imagine the confidence he has now after that game has to rub off on your team as well, knowing that, you know what, there's another guy that can help you score and win ball games.
David is, he's coming. You know, we were really disappointed to lose him in the preseason. You know, we lost him over the summer with a torn labrum, and he had shoulder surgery. But David, you know, over the last month, month and a half, is really starting to come into his own. I think our guys see it every day in practice. Certainly, I think the stage at Duke and the way he played, the rest of the country saw what we've sort of known about David. And again, he's just a freshman, and he missed it the entire preseason, so he still has some things to learn. But man, he's awfully talented and a playmaking point guard for sure with great size.
But it adds a dimension to your team, right? I mean, it puts you in obviously a better advantage, just from a depth perspective, but also from a playmaking perspective, because I think there were some real questions as to what he would bring to the table when healthy. And now, obviously, you and your staff knew, Coach, but people are seeing it. I mean, the guy is going to make plays all over the floor with and without the basketball.
He really does, Wes. You know, we saw it in high school. You know, David played here at Trinity High School locally. So I've known David now for 4 years, watching him all throughout high school. And he makes plays on both ends of the floor. You know, defensively, his arms affected the game the other night, his length. They tried to throw a skip pass when he was sort of helping on the backside of a post up, and he ends up stealing the ball. And his ability to sort of see the next play, he has really, really good vision. He is a playmaking point guard. At times, he can play either spot because he can score it so well, especially when he gets to the rim. But, you know, for us, I don't know if we have anybody else on our roster that makes the type of plays that he does.
Coach, you mentioned how this season comes at you, especially with a 20-game conference schedule. And I know that you want to celebrate the great win at Duke, but you know, hey, you know what, boys? Here comes the next wave. What did your team do in terms of kind of throttling down from a win like that to get ready for this week?
Well, fortunately, we had an off day on Sunday. And, you know, when you go on the road 3 games in a row, you get a little bit beat up. Then we come back yesterday and focus on a team that has already won 3 road games in conference in Georgia Tech. And, you know, last year they were completely a different team against us. When we went down there in Atlanta, Alvarado was out, you know, Guy was out. So they're a completely different team than we played a year ago, a team that we know is more than capable. And they're going to play a lot differently than Duke. They're going to throw that zone at you. Every game that Georgia Tech has played this year, it's been a one or two possession game down the stretch, and our guys are well aware of that.
It's also an interesting matchup. You mentioned the zone, but just to the front line, to the backcourt. I mean, they've got players on the wings. They've got guys that you've got to find, or because you don't want them, even though he struggled at times, you don't want to leave a guy like Michael DeVoe open. And then they've got this athletic kid in Moses Wright who just finds his way around the basket all the time, it seems like.
Yeah, their front court is awfully talented. You know, James Banks gave us 24-11 a year ago. Moses Wright has really come into his own. I think, you know, for us, Jordan Moore is averaging 19-8 in conference play, and Moses is averaging 16-8. So that should tell you something right there. And then those two guards, Jose Alvarado and Michael DeVoe, they have the ball in their hands, you know, generally the entire shot clock. And the way they probe, the way they try to get in the lane and play off one another is very, very, very impressive and something we're going to have to contain if we're going to win on Wednesday night.
Coach, you mentioned Wara. This has been a different year for him. I mean, you know, top of the scouting report, all those type things. How's he handled that? I mean, you've been through this process with several talented guys, not only as a head coach, but certainly back in your days as an assistant in this league. When you go to the top of the scouting report, it's a different deal, isn't it?
It is, but at the same time, I think there are some plays that Jordan wishes he had back. You know, obviously he's very difficult to free at times because, as you said, the scouting report has him highlighted. He's going to get everybody's best defender. But he had two or three open threes in the game at Duke in transition where I know he wishes he had him back. But I don't worry about Jordan's shooting ability. I worry about him affecting the game in other ways. And really over the last four or five games, he's made a conscious effort to be better in those other areas, whether it's rebounding the ball on the defensive end, whether it's keeping his man in front of him defensively. Done a terrific job in a lot of areas that people questioned, quite honestly, when he came into the year.
You know, the other thing, too, is I remember a couple of weeks ago you talked about you needed veteran guys to make plays for your team. And it looks like that's happened, too. I mean, I think you talked about McMahon and Sutton and guys like that. That seems to be a nice find here in the last couple of weeks, too.
Yeah, and I think as a coach, you're always learning about your team throughout the season, Wes. You know, I think we would love for, you know, us to have a game plan that, you know, starts out in October, November, and you carry it all the way through. But you start to really learn what your players do well and how guys play with one another, how teams are trying to take your team away. And so it's sort of an evolution, especially on the offensive end. So it's our job to get a guy like Dwayne Sutton the ability to go downhill and maybe create some contact and get to the rim when other teams put their four-man on him. It's our job to figure out ways to free Ryan McMahon. And, you know, I think our guys are doing a really good job of just continuing to try to improve and do what the coaches ask. And that's all you can ask as a coach.
Coach, what has surprised you the most about the ACC this year that does not involve your team?
Well, I don't know if it was a surprise so much as, you know, just coming into the year to not really have an all-conference guy back. And I know Mooney and Jordan for us were honorable mention type guys, but to not have a first or second team guy coming back, we knew the league was going to be young. We knew that there were going to be growing pains. And so it's really been interesting to see, you know, how teams have sort of responded, who's been able to win on the road. I think that's a big, sort of a big telltale sign of our league this year, is just the amount of teams that have been able to go on the road and win conference games. So you had better be ready, whether you're playing at home or, like I said, on the road, or you're going to be hurting.
Well, I'll tell you the road thing. I went back and crunched some numbers from a few years ago, Coach. The road thing is a real deal this year. I mean, it's kind of, you mentioned Georgia Tech's three road wins or three conference wins are on the road. I mean, you know this from your time at Wake. You went on the road. That was like winning twice. And now all of a sudden it's become rampant, for heaven's sakes, it seems like.
Yeah, and I don't know really, you know, how to put a finger on it. Maybe it's lack of experience. You know, and for some teams, But as you guys know, it's incredibly difficult to win on the road. So we're not going to assume that our next road venture or anybody coming into the Yum Center isn't going to be ready, isn't going to be prepared, isn't going to be capable of knocking whoever it is off. So we got to make sure that we're up to the challenge each and every night.
Well, I got to tell you something. Of all the things that have happened, you know, since you guys won at Duke the other day, Pack and I have surmised that one of the biggest surprises post-game from Duke, don't you think, Pack, is the fact that your house hasn't been rolled yet?
I'm very appreciative that Satterfield didn't toilet paper our house because it was raining that night, and it would have been awfully miserable trying to clean up the toilet paper the next morning.
You know, maybe he's just holding out for something bigger.
How about that? I got the same hoodie on, man. Shows I'm a very, very simple guy.
That's it. Well, nothing wrong with that.
I was going to figure out, you know, since we moved this show in August, Coach, to the basement of Packer's house, there have been some real HOA covenant upgrades that have gone on in his neighborhood. I mean, there have been some HOA issues. I was starting to think that once your TP of Sat's house hit the internet, that the HOA, and I know you got a 3-time Pro Bowler living in that neighborhood too, who I keep tabs on.
That's exactly right.
I got to wonder if the HOA's not kind of stepped in on some of the antics from them Louisville Athletics boys that live in the neighborhood.
Not yet. But if I get Eric Wood, that might come down the pipe.
All right. By the way, not to fast forward the season because we're enjoying it, but we are right now seriously making plans to do the show from the Kentucky Derby, and we're going to need your help with your insight once you get to Louisville, all right?
Yeah, I can help you navigate around. I'm not going to buy the tickets for you, I can tell you that.
No, we didn't say anything about going to the race. We're just going to come up here on Friday just to do a show. I'm not trying to go to the race. Packers are the ones going to try to go to the race. I got to go watch my daughter graduate from college, Chris.
Priorities.
I understand.
Priorities.
Yeah. So
I can tell you, make sure you bring your rain gear because I've been to two Kentucky Derbies since I've been here, and both of them have been downpours. So I would be prepared, gentlemen.
Well, we're bringing the sunshine this time, Coach. Just telling you. We're bringing
the
sunshine.
That would be awesome.
You got it. Well, listen, continued success. You're doing a tremendous job.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Chris Mack, head coach of the Louisville Cardinals. Big win against Duke on Saturday. They turn it around, get ready for Georgia Tech coming up on Wednesday night.
I thought Coach's answers, though, regarding what they learned on the road in tough environments prior to getting to Cameron Indoor and how it helped them. Because that was a grinder with 6 minutes to go now.
That thing was.
Place is rocking. You know, we've seen that 18 trillion times. A team comes in there, plays lights out for 30 minutes, but can't close against Duke. Well, Louisville figured out a way to do it.
Let me tell you something. The word that is going around between the coaches and people that follow these games is grinder. Every game. If we get a stat, and I don't know how many stats and info people we got in Bristol tied to the company here, but if we could get somebody to go out and figure the games that are either one possession or tied with 6 minutes to go, Pack, the percentage would be through the roof.
Well, you had another one last night.
Yeah. I mean, well, another five or less last night. But look at the weekend. I mean, every game had something going in the last 5 or 6 minutes of ball games.
It's glob basketball, Wes. Everybody's kind of tied in together here, other than the top three and NC State starting to make their move, getting to the top tier. We'll see how it plays out.
When we come back, the struggle bus is also part of the glob. Cavaliers were on the struggle bus last night. Tar Heels have been on the struggle bus. They're two of the passengers who maybe we expected not to be on it. There's some others, too. We'll talk about that as we head into a Tuesday night pair of games on the ACC Network coming up. Packer and Durham continues on a Tuesday.
Packer and Durham.
In the meantime, though, West Durham.
Yes, sir.
We will take a quick call because Kevin in Massachusetts has been holding for about 2 days. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, 2 days. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Great show. And listen, I've been hearing you guys all season long, and I agree with you that Florida State, Miami, and Virginia Tech need to step up their game in football just to put a wrap on the football season, for me at least. But Virginia Tech really worries me, guys. They're not getting the Tidewater kids. When Beamer had his great teams, they would own the Tidewater Norfolk area. They're not getting them. They're at the bottom of the ACC in football recruiting. They only got 13 recruits. And I like to caboose a couple schools on there, a few schools on there. North Carolina, Virginia, Pittsburgh, and Georgia Tech. North Carolina and Virginia, all four of those guys have enormous endowments, top 20 in the nation in endowment money. I understand endowment money is not going to be magically put over to the athletic department, but, you know, it's unbelievable that, to me, that North Carolina and Virginia and, you know, to a lesser extent, Georgia Tech and Pittsburgh. Georgia Tech obviously has enormous situations with their curriculum. You know, you want to major in architecture, engineering, or mechanical engineering. There's no sociology or psychology degrees at Georgia Tech. It's amazing that they are competitive in anything. But those four schools need to step up the game. Pittsburgh's got 9 national championships in their history. 9. And back to Virginia and Virginia Tech, they need to own that state. People are coming in there and taking great recruits, and they're just not owning that state, and that's very disappointing. I think those four schools should be able to jump up, and maybe I can throw NC State in there too. But they just need to get better. And and one basketball thing, I was very disappointed in Ray, Roy Williams, excuse me, over at Carolina. You know, to me, you're in a foxhole with your team. You don't, turn on your team like that. That was very disappointing. And by the way, bottom line, Roy, you know, you're responsible for getting those kids in school. If they can't play or you missed on their recruiting, then that's still your thing. But you don't turn on your team and call them out like that. That's a foxhole, brother. You can't do that to your team. That's my take, guys.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
Where would you like to start?
I'm going to go to what Dan Bonner said earlier about Virginia and Carolina, because I think the loss of inventory for both those schools has impacted their respective basketball teams greatly. Okay. The Hunter guy, Jerome, departures at Virginia, that's one thing. Okay. The proven score, the proven dynamic, you know, go get it bucket, that doesn't exist at Virginia right now. And I'm not sure it's going to exist at Carolina before the year ends. I think it was supposed to be Cole Anthony, and you would hope that somewhere along the way there'd be that guy. The other aspect about this for Carolina is you got to have some degree of confidence about yourself, and I'm not sure there's a lot of that there right now either. You feel the same way?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can get caught.
No question guys get caught. I mean, I saw it happen with Bobby Crimmins post Stephon Marbury, and that was one player. I saw it happen with Paul Hewitt on the one and duns a couple times at Georgia Tech. We've seen it happen intermittently throughout the league in the last 20, 25 years. It's just not as pronounced as the defending national champion and one of the Blue Bloods. Fair?
It's fair, but they both got caught.
No question. And it's going to happen to the best of them, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Okay.
If you don't get caught. And sometimes you can recruit where you also, you know, the coach is also involved in developing players, Wes. And, you know, Virginia's coming off a national championship season. For North Carolina to go from preseason top 10 to off the radar, not even sure they're going to make the NIT, is a humongous drop. And I know there have been injuries and Cole Anthony, and I get on. And when he gets back, assuming he's coming back and he's in basketball shape and can help, they'll be better. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we went through their schedule. I mean, this is not
it's going to be a hard ride.
Oh, my goodness. The second half of their schedule is brutal, even with Cole Anthony in the lineup. So, hey, you know, you do the best you can with all that stuff. But, you know,
I don't know
what else to tell you on this thing. But the caller's right regarding the Roy Williams thing. And we talked about this when this all happened 2-3 weeks ago. Roy Williams was guilty of being honest. Now, should he have done that behind closed doors? Probably.
Yeah.
Now, when you say that to the media, believe me, somebody as high profile as Roy Williams as a Hall of Fame coach in North Carolina's an incredible basketball program, that is going to be a headline. Mm-hmm. And I do think part of that was also taken out of context. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but when you read the whole quote, he kind of tied it into what he said earlier in the year, but a lot of headlines didn't put that part of it in. Now, I'm not telling you I would have said, hey, listen, we got dudes that can't play. I wouldn't have said that. This is the least gifted team I've – I wouldn't have said that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a Hall of Fame coach. He also has a McDonald's All-America on there, even without Cole Anthony. I mean, it's not. Hey, there's a lot of teams in the country would like to still have their talent.
Right.
You got to go play.
Yep.
Nobody's going to feel sorry for North Carolina or Virginia.
No. And again, I think that's why, you know, if you're reveling in Carolina's demise, that's, you know, that's your choosing.
It's your prerogative.
But I would also say this too. There are a lot of teams whose demise is not as drastic, but have also had it. Right?
Maybe nobody's immune to a down year.
Not in college basketball. There's a sample size every year, and guess what? It also happens in football. That's why I use the term August national champions from time to time. We revel in these teams at the top, and then you can't find them in November.
Well, Kevin, going back to recruiting, you and I are not recruiting experts on this thing, but you know, when you do look at recruiting rankings for people that do that for a living and worry about such things, Virginia Tech's numbers are alarming if you're into that.
Right.
Now, I'll still go back to saying I don't ever worry about whether a kid's a two-star or a five-star until they step on campus and you find out who wants to compete.
Right.
Right? And Justin Fuente and his guys, I thought, did a great job this past year turning what looked to be a disaster into a bowl-bound season. So, you know, coaching matters.
Right.
Coaching matters. I mean, you've got to get good players, but I mean, you also got to coach them up, man.
I agree with that. I think the other thing, too, is we don't know how that depth chart shakes out with players he had that didn't play this year, who they were expecting to play, injuries, all those type deals. So I'm going to hold the indictment on Fuente a little bit here. As it relates to the endowments, all I can tell you from working on campuses around the country in my job, in my professional career is that every campus is a little different, Pac. Right? When it comes to endowments. Just because somebody's got a lot of bread doesn't mean that bread comes out of the oven, right?
A lot of times people have a lot of bread because they don't spend it.
That's it.
And don't even reinvest.
And they also don't necessarily want to spend it on certain areas.
Especially something that's not academia related.
Correct. So, and every school's different. No two schools are the same.
Well, it'd be like saying the equivalent of, hey, if somebody's drawn 100,000 people right. for a football game, somebody's drawn 40,000, so therefore the guy with 40,000 fans can't win. That's not true. You got to figure out a way.
Hey, by the way, coming up here on Friday night, by the way, on ACC Network.
Finally.
We got something for you now.
Finally.
Wrestling. Wrestling, rather.
It's not wrestling,
it's wrestling. This is wrestling. It's not wrestling.
It's not you're off looking, the top ring rope.
If this you're is, looking for Gordon Solie no, and Bob Caudle and Jim Crockett, nope. David Crockett, nope.
No. Nature Boy Ric Flair is not walking through
Bobo
that.
Bobo Brazil, Rufus R. Freight Train Jones.
No. The Rock's not coming out.
Nope. We got number 3 Virginia Tech, number 13 Carolina.
This league's pretty good in wrestling,
yes,
by the way.
It is. Castle Coliseum in Blacksburg. Hokies are undefeated. They're 8-0. The Heels will be 8-1. Coverage starts at 7 Eastern from the Castle. We'll get on the mat right here on the ACC Network and the ESPN app. No Dick the Bulldog Brower?
Nope, no Undertaker.
No Undertaker. Stay tuned when we come back on Packer and Durham. Manny Navarro from The Athletic, who covers Miami, will join us. Oh, look at the tease line. A new king in Miami? You can't make this stuff up on this show, can you? De'Eric King has arrived in Coral Gables. We will chronicle that with Manny Navarro, The Athletic. Packer and Fuller getting ready to go the driveway for 90 seconds of pure entertainment, too, here on the ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Chester.
What was the end game on that ball bouncing with Fuller?
Chester is calmly in his spot. Fuller's now upstairs in timeout eating a bone. He almost made it through a whole show again.
Yep.
We're still working on Fuller.
7 out of 8 shows Fuller's had to.
I think he made 2 in a row, and that's been about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
Sorry. Well, you know, he's getting better.
All right.
That little ball gets underneath the table over there. He can start losing his mind.
The ball dog.
Yeah.
All right, ready to ride to South Florida?
Let's do it. There's a lot to talk about with the Canes.
I'd say so. Manny Navarro, who covers Miami for The Athletic, joins us on this show. And I'll say this. Your beat is not boring, sir.
No. Yeah, lots of action over the weekend, and obviously everybody's excited about De'Eric King and knowing that they might have the quarterback situation at least resolved for 2020, especially after the way season ended for Miami with those three straight losses and some of the things we're hearing coming out of the quarterback room and some of the infighting. So I think it's I think it was good pickup, and then obviously the day ended even better when they got Quincy Roche from Temple, a guy who I think is really going to make a huge impact with that defensive line.
Manny, I'm glad you brought up Quincy, because I had mentioned that to Wes earlier. We were talking about the quarterback situation, rightfully so, when you start talking about Miami. But Quincy Roche now, for folks that watch American Athletic Conference football, this dude was a terror. I mean, there were a lot of people not only within this league but also around the country when they heard he was going to enter the transfer portal that wanted his services. I thought this was a big, big get for the Canes.
Absolutely. And really, when you think about where this defense was last year, I mean, there were some moments where there were some slip-ups in coverage and whatnot, but they were still very good defense. And, you know, you end up losing Jonathan Garvin, who's a pretty good player, junior, 5 sacks last season. Trevon Hill, who came over from Virginia Tech, was a nice rotation player. You lose two of your top three guys and get into the quarterback, and you replace him with a guy like Roche, who you know is so good at it. It really complements now Gregory Rousseau, who we all know had such a tremendous season last year, 15.5 sacks, and now you've got two legitimate pass rushers. And of course, you know, Miami's also got Jalen Phillips, who was the number one high school player in the country in 2017. He sat out last year after transferring him from UCLA, so they feel like they've basically replaced Garvin and Hill, and you know, Rousseau is going to be a redshirt sophomore. It's only going to be second year he's playing. Such high expectations for him, and I think, yeah, without a doubt, Roche is going to make this defensive line probably one of the best in the country.
Manny, how big a concern, though, and Pack and I talked about this with the arrival of King, how big a concern is what that offensive line ends up looking like for Rhett Lashley, who's now come on as the OC?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're still trying to address it. They're recruiting some grad transfers. I know they've been speaking to several here the last few weeks, and I think they'd like to bring in another offensive tackle. But, you know, Miami did go through the growing pains last year. They played those two freshmen extensively, Zion Nelson and Ja'Kai Clark, and they feel good about where those guys are going in the future. So they also did a great job picking up an Under Armour All-American, Jalen Rivers, who looked like one of the best linemen in the country, no doubt, in that game. So they feel like there's progress being made with that offensive line. But in the grand scheme of things, part of the reason they went to this, you know, quick up-tempo, no-huddle spread offense is because they want to try to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands a lot quicker than they did last year. I think there were some times where receivers still had their back turned when the quarterback was getting hit. I don't think that's going to be the case in 2020. I think Rhett Lashley is going to get the ball out of De'Aaron King's hands pretty quickly. And when he doesn't, King will probably be running around and driving defenses crazy.
All right, that brings us to the question that Packer and I were talking about. And is this De'Aaron King's job from this morning on?
Absolutely. I think without question, he would not be coming here if he wasn't promised the starting job. There were some other schools that were certainly interested in De'Aaron King. And, you know, he could have gone back to Houston and been the starter in 2020. He's not going to leave a school where he could have been a starter to come back here and be a backup. Manny Diaz made it pretty clear that the job was wide open, especially after the way things ended last year. So to me, he's the incoming starter this spring. And the only way he doesn't start in the opener is if he's hurt or he gets himself suspended. And I don't think Derek King is that kind of kid who's going to get himself suspended.
Man, let's talk about a year ago. Manny Diaz arrives on the scene, a local. Everybody's fired up. I thought the Canes and their staff did a great job in getting the people fired up about a new Miami, right? We heard all that almost nonstop, all spring, into the summer, even in the fall camp. Obviously, 2019 did not end the way anybody expected. A team that looked like it kind of turned the corner in the middle of November. Schedule was promising. You finish 6-7. Here we are now with Manny Diaz and his staff. What's the temperature like in terms of the fan base with the Canes as we head into 2020?
Well, I'll tell you, I still think there's a lot of doubters out there, especially after what they saw, the way the season ended. You know, obviously yesterday was an exciting day, but I think, you know, everybody's sort of in hey, he's got to prove it mode. You know, Manny had a great January last year, like you said. I mean, he entered the transfer portal, got a bunch of guys, got the fan base excited. But I think Miami fans have been so frustrated with the mediocrity of the last 15 years to have one, you know, double-digit win season since moving to the ACC. It just hasn't sat well with the fans, and their patience levels has run low. And so I think, you know, instead of being Mr. January, they need Manny Diaz to be Mr., you know, August, September, October, November. I think that's when Miami fans will really have his back.
But Manny, you've covered this a long time, not just for the Athletic, but in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Miami of the 90s and the 2000s reality? I mean, can they get there? I mean, let's be honest. We said it during the bowl game on television with Roddy and Eric. I mean, the last time Miami won a national championship, a lot of this roster was 4 and 5 years old, right? I mean, there's some reality now. The timing and the years that are rolling by, that's not helping the Canes either.
No. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, none of these kids that are coming out of high school have ever seen this program win anything significant. And so, you know, the feeling is, can it happen? Can Miami get back there? I think the 10-0 start of 2017 with Mark Richt, and I know, look, they pulled some games out of the hat there at the end, some of those victories when they were 10-0. But the feeling is, you're always going to have a talented backyard between Miami-Dade and Broward County. There's always going to be NFL talent in your backyard. If you can get the right coach, if you can get the right system put in place, this, you know, you're certainly in a division that is there for the taking, right? I mean, that Coastal Division right now, you can't say anybody really stands out. Every year it's a different guy who rises to the top. So as long as you can get to the ACC championship game, yes, Clemson is a monster right now. But if you can get there, you never know what can happen. And I think, you know, all Miami needs is a few good years in a row, and some of the local kids are going to start to get excited about the program. Some of the elite kids are going to start to get excited about the program again. And that's when you get back to the level where you're contending for playoff spots and national championships. And so, I think there is a possibility of Miami getting there. It's just been so long that you kind of have to prove it, that you're really capable of it. And I think winning the games that you're supposed to win. I mean, Miami was favored, I think, in 6 of their 7 losses. So they can't do that anymore. They've got to go out and take care of business against the teams that they're supposed to take care of business against. And that's what Manny Diaz has to show in 2020, that his team's not going to show up whenever they want. They got to show up and win when they're supposed to.
Manny, who's more likely to get back to elite status quicker, Miami or Florida State?
Great question. I'm going to say Miami, because I feel like after what I saw last year, I feel like there's a bigger hole at Florida State right now. Quarterback, especially. I think Miami's got the better quarterback right now. And I would say that defensively, you know, the Florida State that I saw last year wasn't the Florida State I remember. Miami's got their system in place. They're ahead on that side of the football. They've continued to recruit well there. But listen, Florida State and Miami, to me, they're like twin brothers. You know, I mean, at any moment, they can get their act together and get hot and compete for national championships. So, it's just a matter of who's playing quarterback and how quickly Florida State can get back to looking like the Florida State that I remember on defense.
All right. I want to rephrase where we started this with De'Eriq King. Florida State was involved in De'Eriq King. Maryland was involved in De'Eriq King. Miami was involved in De'Eriq King. Who else were suitors to the party, if you will?
Well, I think there certainly was some interest from Arkansas. You know, I heard some clamoring that maybe LSU was kicking the tires on it a little bit. Look, I mean, he's an explosive, dynamic player, and everybody's looking for those kind of guys at that quarterback position, especially when you look at what, you know, a guy like Lamar Jackson did this year in the NFL and Kyler Murray. And, you know, I mean, I think everybody's always interested. Whether or not they're a fit is a different story, and I think De'Eriq, just from the get-go, meeting Rhett Lashley, talking with Manny Diaz, there was a feeling of, hey, this is the right place for you. And I think he felt it, and that's why he's coming to Miami.
I'm going to gather that what Rhett Lashley did at SMU and the fact that De'Eriq King saw that also contributed to this, right?
Absolutely. And I'm sure Rhett Lashley also put on some of the tape of what he did at Auburn with Nick Marshall and some of those guys. Obviously, Gus Malzahn was a big part of that, but
right.
I mean, that was Rhett's teacher, right? I mean, that was his coach and his guy. So he's coming from that system, and you're right. What he did at SMU last year and the numbers those guys put up, absolutely. I think there's no question that De'Eriq saw that, and he sees himself doing that at Miami.
All right. Manny Navarro, you're a good man. You got the early call from the bullpen, and you responded.
Hey, I appreciate it. It was a busy day yesterday, so I was wired. It was a big day.
Take care. Thanks as always. Appreciate it.
Take care, fellas.
All right. Manny Navarro covers Miami for The Athletic. Great insight there now. What part are you buying the best of all that?
I think the part that he said that Manny Diaz needs to stop being Mr. January and needs to start being Mr. September, October, November. I thought that was correct. Miami's got pieces. They will be a fascinating story in 2020 in the spring, the summer, and the fall. The Canes need to get back to being the Canes for this league and for Miami. Has to happen. Same thing in Florida State. Been beating this thing for years. So we'll see.
How you feel today? Better?
Well, you got more. Listen, you acquired two players yesterday that we have seen play major college football that can play.
Mm-hmm. So and that you got, is. You got a player on defense, by the way, that is a name taker already.
Oh, he's a dude.
Rousseau is a dude.
No.
Rouche is a dude.
Rouche. I'm talking about the guys you acquired.
Yeah.
They can help you immediately. Now, you hope they can. Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll see how it plays out.
Final segment coming up on this program, by the way. We've got a couple things. How about we've already introduced wrestling in our coverage of the ACC Network.
You know what? Me and you, us two idiots, haven't done enough to promote wrestling on this show, in my opinion.
Sure.
Because the league is good.
Yeah, the league is good.
And I think that if we could do a self-evaluation critique, we should have done a better job with wrestling. So I'm excited that it's coming into play here.
We are a show of transparency.
I'll just tell you. Sometimes we're going to tell you when we're right, tell you when we're wrong.
We're wrong about we didn't get wrestling in the mix earlier. Yeah.
But we're going to now.
Yeah.
Which is good.
And it's wrestling.
Right.
Not wrestling.
No. I heard you the first time.
Okay, I'm just checking. Also, we got a preseason baseball poll. The thing I love about college baseball is there are 55,000 people who do baseball rankings. We're going to get in Baseball America's pocket, though, coming up next. Near the top, our man Dan McDonald and the Cards. They got sweet unis, by the way. We'll come back, review the 8 teams in the top 25 of the Baseball America preseason Top 25 when Packer and Durham returns on ACC Network, Sirius XM, ACC 371.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Packer and Durham, 844-SAY-ACCN. If you want to jump on board for the final segment, you can, but we still have stuff to get into. We talked a little wrestling for a second. Tomorrow, by the way, 9 a.m. sharp is, what's the matter?
Up here at the top, there's an American flag.
Yeah, that we haven't told that story yet. There's a picture beside the American flag.
Yeah.
When I was doing radio at locally, which was syndicated on Primetime with the Pac-Man, there was a gentleman that was a big listener, went overseas to represent our fine country, and was a troop, and he loved listening to the show.
Really?
And there's a picture of him and another colleague with an American flag in the background in Kuwait. And
seriously?
Yeah, and so the flag in that picture is the flag that he gave me. And I just always thought it was kind of cool.
I'd say so.
So I stuck it up on top over the... We always add stuff to the studio. We don't even tell folks to see if they can see
that. I've never noticed that until Chrissy just came back with the picture on the bump back.
So, and they gave me a coin and everything else from his troop, and it was
That's really awesome.
Yeah, really cool. And I was touched by it and have always treasured that flag and that picture and what those troops do for our great country and support us so idiots like us can make a living and have the freedoms that we do.
Sit here and talk about stuff.
No, I mean, but I'm seriously, yeah. I mean, God bless That's all the awesome. Men and women that have served this country and are continuing to serve this great country. But that is a, that's a memento from the old show that I will never, ever forget.
We and might need cool. to find a better spot for that.
Well, I mean, whatever you want to do with it, but I just thought up high overlooking us would be kind of a neat spot for
it. We got a lot of stuff going on up here. We got artwork. We got
all kinds of things.
Emerson's work that she's done, the bronze football, the sneaker, the whole bit. So.
All right, just a programming note, though. Tomorrow, 9 a.m. sharp.
Oh, get ready now.
Hour 3, the Power Hour. We will announce exclusively the 2020 ACC football schedule for everyone. We've already made some notes. We'll break all this stuff down for you tomorrow at 9 a.m. sharp. And we are sworn to secrecy that we're not going to tell you what's going where and all that good stuff, but you will get it all tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Right here it is.
What's that?
On one of these official ACC network cards is the football schedule.
But not that one.
Not that one.
Mm-mm.
It'll be on one of these official cards, though.
Yeah, if you want.
Game show cards. If you love those cards.
Okay.
So always wanted to work for a place where we had cards.
We got cards. We also have the cards high atop the Baseball America preseason top 25. I'll be here all week. You want to take it from here?
Baseball America, one of several publications that produces a preseason top 25, has theirs out. There are eight, count them, eight Atlantic Coast Conference teams in that top 25.
Headed, most of any league.
Well, sure. That's exactly right. Louisville 2, Miami 5, Mike Martin Jr. in Florida State is 12, Chris Pollard, one of our favorites,
yep.
Duke at 15, needless to say, Elliott Avent, a staple of the program, is 17.
Tobacco Road, pretty strong, everybody on there. Huh?
Tom Walter, Wake Forest in there too, you bet. Danny Hall and Georgia Tech at 21. And as they say in the business, it'll be here before you know it.
And no Clemson in that list, which traditionally in the top 25.
Yeah, Monty Lee's team, interested to see what the Tigers have once baseball starts.
So apparently for the folks that are really in the know with college baseball,
mm-hmm.
The league looks like it's going to be pretty doggone good and competitive.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how things go for Mike Martin Jr., obviously at Florida State. Got a talented team. Miami, Louisville, Florida State, Duke are all in the top 15. But, you know, when you start thinking about teams that seemingly have the combination it takes to win and be successful on the national stage, I would put those guys right there just about at the head of any list.
Got a little taste of it last year. And everybody chasing Vanderbilt, the defender, who is number one on that list, by the way.
Yep.
Just to be completely transparent, but Louisville going to be really, really good. Should be.
So
we'll do a lot of baseball. We'll do a lot of softball. You're still negotiating for us to do golf.
Oh, yeah.
Spring, it'll be good.
Yeah.
It's always something to talk about.
Tower at the 18th here, Pack, and what do you see?
I see the same outfit I wore at Quail Hollow for the celebrity putting. That's what I look at, Wes. Back to you.
Nice.
Total disaster.
You in golf?
No.
MJ Walker, by the way, on this show tomorrow. From Florida State.
Another dude lighting it up.
How about a big shot he hit Saturday?
Oh, man. Florida State's been, you know, Leonard's got his boys in the top five for the first time since, what, 72, 73?
Uh-huh. Hey.
You know, they.
Hugh Durham had them in the top five when I had Ron King and Otto Petty and it. Reggie Royal.
That's it.
We beat Dean and Carolina in Los Angeles.
It's not a team at Florida State. That is a program.
Yeah.
Basketball program.
Got that
FSU.
Right. Also, 9 o'clock tomorrow, tell your friends and neighbors, gather around the screen, kids. Packer and Durham have the 2020 ACC football schedule.
There's a couple games early that...
Boy, you are just filling the air with confidential
information. I love looking at schedules.
Filling the air.
I was swallowing whole yesterday when that thing came
down. Are you going to be able to do 7 to 8, 8 to 9 before you start talking about the schedule tomorrow?
Yes.
Because you're talking about the schedule right now.
Well, you know what? If you want, we can do another bonus hour. You want to go bonus hour?
No.
Why not?
Because we're doing the schedule at 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay. Be that way. For all you see, ACC football fans, I'd have given it to you in the next bonus hour, but Durham don't want to do it.
Nope, can't do that. It's against the rules. Got to play by the rules on this one, Pack. They're letting us have highly confidential information.
On a stack of Bibles, I can swear to you, I have not told a soul of a single game yet.
Okay. All right. If you missed any of the show, sit tight. It comes back at you on ACC Network from 10 to 1. Please download the podcast. Appreciate everybody that's done that. Appreciate all the calls today. Thanks to Dan Bonner, Buddy Boeheim, Chris
Mack.
Boeheim
was excellent.
And Manny Navarro. We'll see you with the football schedule at 9, but we'll start this program at 7 tomorrow on ACC Network. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Packer and Durham podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.